Okay. It's really lovely to be here. So my name is Phil. I'm married to Roz. We have three daughters and live in Riverside. We moved to Stirling in 2007 to work in student ministry. And about a year ago, we ended up slightly against our desire at the time, leading the work in Scotland, but it's been a great privilege. And that's meant for us stepping back from the kind of front line of student ministry and kind of entrusting that to Cam and Fiona Sim, which has been incredibly easy because they're just an amazing couple and a great privilege to work for. It's very humbling, some of the people that work with us. It's just a great privilege. And just to say a huge thanks to you as a church for your support of Cam and Fiona and this whole thing, and regional partners and this thing. It's really encouraging that we see that everything that we do as an organization in partnership with the church, and it's just incredibly important for us to have these kind of partnerships. So thank you to Stirling Baptist for your support of these guys, and it's just fantastic, very encouraging for us. Okay, I just want to, I've been to Stirling Baptist a few times. I've always had this fascination with this lectern. I don't know what it is. I love this perspex thing. It's beautiful. Anyhow, I'm very jealous, Alistair. I wish I could have this in my dining room or something. Anyhow, okay, I just want to spend a little bit of just 10, 15 minutes to explain the heart and vision of the Navigators. And really, it's a vision that we don't own. It's a vision for every single person in this room. And I guess what I want to do is just encourage you with our heart and our passion and what we're about as an organization. You've probably heard of the Navigators through things like NavPress, which is a publishing arm of the organization, the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson, Scripture Memory, maybe, if you're a bit older, or the idea of follow-up, or just discipleship generally is a word that's associated with the Navigators. But there's an idea behind the Navigators which gets us all out of bed and gets us very excited and very passionate. And I just wanted to spend a little bit of time, hopefully just encouraging you guys with this vision and this heart of ours, and really encouraging you as to your place in the mission of God. Your place in the mission of God. So let me explain this idea. If I was to ask you, how did you become a Christian? I could guarantee that probably about 85% of the people in this room would say that some person, some relationship was absolutely central to you becoming a Christian. That some people become Christians through a film or other means, but friendship is absolutely central in the majority of people in how they come to faith. You know, relationships are the essential means in which people become Christians nowadays, more so than ever in a secularized world. And George Verwer, who's the former head of Operation Mobilization, said this. It's a very good quote. He said, "Relationships are the bridge over which the heavy artillery of the gospel passes over. Relationships are the bridge over which the heavy artillery of the gospel passes over." And this is the point. If you are a disciple of Jesus, you will automatically become part of God's mission of rescuing his creation. You automatically become that. And that means that you and your relationships are the means by which God's transforming truth and power are put into people's hearts. You are it. And I guess, you know, as I look at some of those that have become Christians, that I've been aware of that have become Christians in Stirling over the last, certainly 3 or 4 years, what I find really interesting is you do have people just kind of randomly come off the street into churches. But of those that have really gone on in faith, they've virtually always had a good connection, a solid relational connection with a Christian, as a general pattern that I've observed in the last number of years. And I think there have been encouraging numbers of people become Christians. And this is really the key, that you and your relationships are God's transforming tool in the kingdom of God. You and your relationships are God's transforming tool. E.M. Bounds, who wrote this book called, he wrote a number of books, book called Power Through Prayer, said this, that God's method is men. God's method is men, living out the kingdom. You as an individual are not just subsumed or secondary to an institution or an organization. You are it. You are it. You are God's mission. This is, you are it. There is no plan B. You are the mission of God. And you know, Jesus sends out 12 disciples, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And how many believers were there, you know, in the early church when it started? Somewhere between 120, 500, maybe. But that's it. You're talking about a tiny bunch of people. And of those, only 12 had been really trained. And yet, the whole of the Roman Empire was impacted through their life. It's incredible. God's method is men. There is no plan B. And I guess if I look at my own life and think about the impact that relationships have had on my life, it's been profound. I became a Christian in my first year at university at Edinburgh. And an older guy just got his hand on my shoulder, loved me. I didn't believe in myself. I was a typical guy, kind of lacking confidence in myself. I made a lot of mistakes, especially in relationships. And this guy just put his hand on me and encouraged me, helped me believe that God could use me. And it completely transformed my life. And I think this is the power of relationships. That encouraging hand on a shoulder to say, actually, God can use you, is unbelievable in the way the Holy Spirit uses relationships. And I think there's a distortion of the idea of discipleship that's going on in the church today. And it's this. It's the idea that discipleship is simply helping Christians to grow. Discipleship is simply helping Christians to grow. Well, it's true. It is that. But it is much more than that. It's to help people to reach people. It's to help people to reach others. There is a spread of the gospel through our lives. There is a multiplication or a generations that we've been talking about this evening in disciple making. Very, very important. Disciple making is not just helping a Christian to grow. It's helping a Christian to reach others with the gospel. It's helping there to be a spread of influence of the gospel in our world. If you've got your Bibles, I wonder if you could open up 2 Timothy 2:2. Very helpful. 2 Timothy 2:2. Okay, very interesting book, 2 Timothy. This is Paul's last letter. He's writing this. He's about to die. He knows that's probably his fate. And he's writing this last letter to Timothy to encourage him as to the absolute priorities as to what he needs to get sorted. He needs to get elders sorted in his young churches. He needs to hold on to the truth of the gospel. There are loads of things he talks about in 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy 2:2 is a very interesting little verse which is going to unpack this idea of generations. And it says this: "And what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So this is Paul saying to Timothy, entrust what you've seen and heard in my life to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And what's interesting in that verse is you probably have at least 13 people mentioned in that one verse. You have something that's been passed on to Timothy, who passes it on to a whole other generation of men, who are then charged to pass on that to a whole other generation of men and women. There's a generational impact that's been communicated through this verse. It's very important, and it was instinctive to Paul, this idea of generations and multiplication. The discipleship is not simply helping someone to grow. It's helping someone pass it on. It's helping someone move onwards and spread the gospel out into our world. Very, very important. At least 30 men, probably more, is implied through this verse. And I guess our heart as a NAVS is to get alongside individuals through what we call life on life ministry, to encourage them, which means literally to give courage to people, to give them, encourage them in faith, to strengthen them, to equip them, to play their full part in the mission of God with their unique relationships. So I look back at my university days in Edinburgh, and I think of some relationships and patterns of generations that happened. So my wife invests in another girl called Ailey. Ailey is from a totally non-Christian background. She encourages her, helps her grow in the faith. Roz didn't really, she wasn't particularly old or mature at this point, but she had an impact on this girl's life. This girl has all these friends, one of whom is called Michael. Michael is a guy that runs club nights in Edinburgh. He's a very, very well-connected guy, a very influential guy. He was the head of, he was the student, what's the head of the student union called? President of the student union at Heriot Watt. He was a very influential guy. And she had a really good relationship with this guy, and he came to faith through Ailey. And now this guy, many, many years on, has been impacting generations of people with the gospel through his life. And what you see is how the gospel spreads, how it passes on, and how influence is spread, and there's this multiplication effect of what God does through relationships. It's incredibly exciting. And so in the NAVS, we have this vision statement, which you can take it for free. And it's this: the gospel passes through family and relational networks. The gospel passing through family and relational networks. And I guess our prayer, and this is what we saw in that example with Roz and this girl and her friend. And our prayer and desire is to see and help people to grow in Christ and see the significance of their relationships in the spread of the kingdom of God. That just like happened with those generations of people in Edinburgh many years ago, our prayer is that that will happen all over the place. And I hear about these guys like Katie and Shona and Zoe and think of the generational impact that could happen through their impact among the students. It's incredible to think of what God will do through those relational networks as they spread out. I guess a great picture of this is Abraham. So Genesis 15:5, God calls Abraham and he tells him to go outside the house and look up at the stars. And he says, he brought him outside and said, look towards heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. And then he said, so shall your offspring be. Innumerable generations of people impacted through God's calling of Abraham, one man, and the impact that would spread out of that. And what's interesting is that the impact of that was through physical generations, through the Jewish people, but it was also, according to the New Testament, through spiritual generations of people, of the gospel being spread through relationships and through relational networks, just spreading out all over the world. Incredible to think that impact of physical and spiritual generations of the spread of the gospel. Think about the spread of the gospel through maybe some of our families, and you can see the impact of how God uses families and relational connections for the spread of the gospel. It's incredibly exciting. And this is how the gospel spreads, through family and relational networks. And this has always been the case. This has always been the case. So I think of the family networks. I think of my boss in the UK, he was the first person in his family to become a Christian. And about 30, 35 years ago, something around that. And it's interesting now that literally between 15 and 20 people, either children or offspring or fellow brothers and sisters, have become Christians through the influence of that one man. Through a family network, the influence of the gospel through this family network. So that's number one, family networks. And then relational networks. I look at some of the students, some of you guys here tonight. I think I will never have, and it would be a bit weird, frankly, the relationships that you have on campus. You know, you are in a world that I will never be in. And God has put you there for a reason. And because he wants the gospel to spread through your life, as weak as you may feel, into these people around you, into your workplaces, wherever God places you, to see the gospel spread through these relational networks that God puts us in. There is no plan B. This is God's mission. There is no plan B. You are it. You are it. It's interesting. There's the great church historian called Kenneth Scott Latourette spoke of the growth of Christianity in the Roman Empire. And he notes that by 170 AD, that's about 140 years after the ascension of Christ, that every Roman city, town, or hamlet had received the gospel. Every Roman city, town, or hamlet had received the gospel in 140 years in the ancient world. It's incredible to think how the gospel spread in this world. You know, what drove the early Christians to do this? What would it take for our generation to see this kind of similar spread of the gospel through family and relational networks? It's incredible and very inspiring to think about this. So Michael Green, he wrote a very helpful book called Evangelism in the Early Church. And he said this: the first disciples were scattered from their base in Jerusalem, and they went everywhere, spreading the good news, which had brought joy, release, and new life to themselves. They must often have been not formal preaching, but the informal chattering to friends and chance acquaintances in homes and wine shops, on walks and around market stalls. They went everywhere, gossiping the gospel. They did it naturally, enthusiastically, and with the conviction of those who were not paid to say that sort of thing. Consequently, they were taken seriously, and the movement spread throughout the world. It's incredible to think of what happened, how the gospel spread everywhere, uncontrollably, in the ancient world. I mean, this is our prayer for today. And I guess there's probably two challenges that I guess we are constantly coming up against that we see, both in our own lives and in the lives of those that we're working with, that are kind of barriers to this working out. And the first one is that people don't often see the significance of their existing relationships in the building of the kingdom of God. So, you know, how much do we in this room really believe that God has placed us exactly where we are for a reason? And that our existing relationships and our future relationships are central to the spread of the kingdom of God. How many of us really think in those sort of terms, that God has placed us uniquely and purposely where we are? But that is the reality. He has done that for a very particular reason. So that's the first one. We don't see the significance of our existing relationships in the growth of the kingdom of God. The second one is that we find that people just don't believe that God can use them. And I guess we can all, you know, I understand that, and we all understand that, don't we? That we struggle to believe that God can really use us in our relationships. And yet the reality is God uses ordinary people. He has always used ordinary people to spread the gospel in this world. That is the reality of how God works. Francis Schaeffer, who's he's a hero of mine, he wrote a book called No Little People. And he wrote this book to communicate exactly this point, that there are no little people and no little places when it comes to the kingdom of God, that everyone has a part to play in God's work. Every single person in this room tonight has a part to play in the mission of God. And he says this in the book: the people who receive praise from the Lord Jesus will not, in every case, be the people who hold leadership in this life. There will be many persons who were sticks of wood that stayed close to God and were quiet before him, and were used in power by him in a place which looks small to men. Those who think of themselves as little people in little places, if committed to Christ and living under his lordship in the whole of life, may, by God's grace, change the flow of our generation. Incredible, beautiful. And I guess, you know, we love to talk about leadership and leaders and big names in our Christian world. But when all is said and done, it may end up being the sticks of wood who have changed the world. It may end up being the sticks of wood that have changed the world. And our heart, simply, as I finish here, is to get alongside sticks of wood, to get alongside ordinary people, individuals, to help them, to encourage them, to give courage and faith, to train and support them, to make their impact in the kingdom of God. That's what we're about, to help them see the significance of their relationships. You know, it's intensive work. It's not glamorous work. I spend my time with individuals more than I spend time in groups like this. It's not glamorous, but it's incredibly effective. Like that guy that put his hand on my shoulder when I was a first year in a mess at university. the impact of this vision is incredible, and it will be incredible for everyone here if you're captured by this, to see just God use sticks of wood, ordinary people, in the spread of the kingdom of God. I was hearing recently some statistics. I think it was connected with Tear Fund, about the number of Christians, people that actually believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and believe the scriptures. How many are there in Scotland? And this research basically found that out of a population of 5.3 million, there are only 50,000 people who would be classed in that category of actually believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and have a conviction about God and the scriptures. So we're basically in a situation where there isn't a Christendom left in Scotland. You know, people may be still holding on to a Christendom of past, but it's gone. We are basically mission frontier territory now in Scotland. This is the reality. And the only way the gospel is going to spread is through these relational and family networks. This is how the gospel will spread. But it's going to take all of us to have the courage and faith to get into relationships in this city and in cities around Scotland. I really believe that God could do this. I really believe, the disciples were a ragbag bunch of guys when you look at them. And yet in the power of the Holy Spirit, God used them to transform generations. And I think this is our hope and our prayer, that God does this, through Stirling Baptist, all you guys, that God does this through the other churches in Stirling, that actually the gospel spreads. It used to be the case that everyone knew a Christian 50 years ago. Everyone would have known a Christian that really believed the Bible. Now you could say that the majority of people don't know a Christian anymore in Scotland who believes the Bible to be true. So we've got a huge opportunity. You could see that as a threat. You could see that as a problem. I see it as an opportunity and a challenge and an exciting one. And when you see that ordinary people take the gospel, it's incredibly exciting to see the power of God through people's lives. So I hope that's encouraging to you guys. This is what our heartbeat is. I suspect it's probably what your heartbeat is as well when it comes down to it. And just would covet your prayers. I'll let us pray as we finish. Father, we just, we thank you that you are Lord, that you are King, that you have your hand upon each one of us, Father. And we do pray for Scotland, and we pray for Stirling. We pray for each of us in this room, that, Lord, we are your plan A. And, Father, we're weak and we're sometimes fearful. But, Father, I pray that you'd use each person in this room to influence others for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of you. Father, you're in the business of using ordinary people, sticks of wood. And I pray tonight that you would put courage and faith in each of our hearts to love those around us and to testify to you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.